Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that in it Thou hast spoken to us a word from heaven, that we should be able to lift up our eyes and look into Thy presence, and be conscious of the fact that while we are walking in this world, we are always in the presence of God. Help us, our Father, to be aware of this, and grant that as we now read and study Thy Word, that Thy Holy Spirit may take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us. For His name's sake we ask it. Amen. In our study of the Gospel according to Matthew, we are now toward the end of chapter 23, and we'll be looking at passage from verse 34 to 39 at the end of the chapter. You will remember that in this chapter we have been reading and noticing the judgment of the Lord concerning certain persons who were active in religious activities but whose hearts weren't right with God. In all the Scripture, there is no passage where there is such a stern indictment of superficial religious pretense as there is here in this discussion that he sets forth concerning the scribes and Pharisees. And now as we come toward the end of the chapter, we are made conscious of the fact that this is a phase of what happens and takes place among the Lord's people at any time. Actually, human nature is not willing to accept the revelation of God's will, and when God sends His word, there is always an opposition to it so far as man is concerned. Now, we can understand that when it is out in the world, but it is rather startling to realize that that can happen inside the church, which comes close to us because it means it could happen with us. Let me read this portion to you, and as I read it, just remember that the Lord Jesus is saying these things because of their meaningfulness in that day and to us, beginning now in Matthew chapter 23, starting to read at verse 34, the Lord Jesus says, "Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation." In this stern and solemn warning, the Lord Jesus is indicating, he's referring to the steady hostility on the part of the human heart against the things of God. God has come to us, we've turned our back on Him. The Lord Jesus came to His own received Him not. Almighty God calls His own, and His own do not listen to Him. Now listen to this. "I send unto you prophets," that is, men who declare the word of God, "wise men," men who understand the whole situation and can tell you the truth, "scribes," men who are learned in the Scriptures and acquainted with what God has revealed in time past. And God sends these servants to His people. And there, these servants encounter a reception that is opposed to them. I think the proper word is hostile. They show hostility to them. "Some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall you scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city." I know that many of us would just almost be shocked. How can this be? But it is. And if you'll say to me, well, they don't do that to every preacher, that isn't done to every teacher, you're going to have to keep in mind that not every preacher and not every teacher really declares the Word of God. This is to say that if a person will come to any group of people, will come to mankind anywhere, even in the church, and come declaring the Word of God, reminding them of the things that Almighty God wants them to know and keep in mind, they will resent it. The natural heart is enmity against the law of God, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the person who comes with the truth of God to the human heart encounters this hostility. But when men treat the servants, the messengers, in this way, they actually incur the wrath of God. And he says that he will bring upon them the blood, all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel. Now you remember that takes you back to the first man killed in the Bible, in the story between Cain and Abel. And you're to understand that the opposition to the Word of God is like the opposition of Cain to Abel. In other words, as God deals with men, there are some things that God wants, and there are other things that men want. These two don't come out even. And if a man is committed to what man wants, and someone comes and presents before him what God wants, there is aroused a conflict. And the one who wants what man wants will be positively opposed to the one who wants what God wants. And it just happens that violence comes from the one who is opposed to God. And they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So here he said to these people, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, at the very beginning of Scripture, unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar, a preacher who had come to Israel to preach the word of God, and they killed him. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And you know, I think that means in a certain way that when I resist the gospel, or I resist the Bible, I turn my back on the revealed truth of God, I am one of those who have always opposed God, and God's judgment upon all those people is also upon me. Now notice how it is said in the last three verses of the chapter, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. This is God speaking to his people who have actually killed his servants and stoned those that were sent unto him, unto them. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not? God is expressing the fact that he has again and again and again in grace and mercy been willing to gather all human beings together that he might save them, comfort them, keep them from accident and harm, keep them from any calamity, keep them from the cold, watch over them the way a hen watches over the chickens under her wing. How often God wanted to do this with his people, but they would not. And behold, your house is left unto you desolate. And this means to say that while God is long-suffering, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy, it doesn't follow that he will never be provoked. That doesn't follow. It doesn't follow he will never have indignation. That doesn't follow. Now, God's mercy is great, and his patience is long, and he loves mercy, and he has long patience, but he can be provoked. And these people have provoked him. Jerusalem has provoked him. And he says about them, behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Which is a way of saying, God's going to turn away from you. You see, the truth of the matter is that God dealt with his people He dealt with his people in mercy and grace. He did for them and did for them and did for them and did for them again and again and again and again and again. And his people ignored him, neglected him, were unthankful, looked other places, and turned away from him over and over and over and over and over again. But God is saying here, there'll be an end to that. He won't do that forever. And he says it through the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes to Jerusalem to present himself, it has an element of finality about it. There is something of the flavor of this is the last chance. He is coming in here to present himself, and they are opposed to him, and he reminds them it's all coming up to a climax now, because in what they were going to do with him, it would settle what God would do with them. And what was true of Jerusalem would be true of you and of me. We would have it just exactly this way. And we shall find that if we neglect and neglect and neglect and neglect and neglect, our house will be left to us desolate, meaning unblessed. And then he says in the last verse, "For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, if you'll remember, "Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord" is the greeting that was given to the king. And what he is saying here is, "You shall not see me henceforth till you say, Blessed be the King." And I take it that for me, this means something like this. If I have been negligent, and I have turned my back on the Lord, and I have, although I was one of God's people and believed in him, just didn't want to listen, and I have turned away and turned away and turned away, there comes a time when God, as it were, comes to the end of his patience and long-suffering. And then I'm face to face with this one fact. Either I will accept Jesus Christ as King and Lord, or not at all. Our God and Heavenly Father, keep us from such a conclusion, from such an ending. Watch over us. Make us inclined to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and to turn our hearts over to him, and to follow him as he teaches. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.